seeking God earnestly and patiently in prayer is the most productive use of our time. It's not an escape route from the things that we're struggling with. It is a wise response to the reality of our world. If you look at Nehemiah chapter 1, if you have your Bibles with you. If you don't, we do have Bibles on the back table that you're free to take and keep. So if we look at Nehemiah chapter 1, Nehemiah gets really terrible news that the wall of Jerusalem is broken down and its gates are on fire. And in verse 4, Nehemiah says, "As soon as I heard these words, I sat down and wept and mourned for days, and I continued fasting and praying before the God of heaven." So he cries when he gets this bad news, and then he throws himself into lengthy prayer and self-humiliation. Now, as you continue to read through Nehemiah, as I'm sure you all have, we can appreciate that Nehemiah as a man is no passive flower. He's not a shrinking violet who defaults to inaction in his life. He is a man of decisive action. He is creative, and he is a brilliant strategist that figures out how to make things happen, and then he makes things happen. He engineers and generates things through a mixture of ingenuity and belligerence that is amazing. And so when we see this text, and we see that upon receiving this horrific news about the capital of his home country, he sits down and cries, maybe our first thought is, well, why didn't he, you know, do something? I mean, doing anything would certainly beat all of this weeping. I mean, if he had started a PR campaign or started lobbying or got on talk radio or even wrote a blog about what was going on in Jerusalem. But instead, he mourns. Now, when we get into the New Testament, we find out that Jesus says the people that mourn are blessed. So that kind of throws our response, our knee-jerk response, into question. But I think sometimes that we replace what would actually work with what we think will work, and we take action where the action that we need to take is prayer. Nehemiah prays and mourns with fasting for 5 months, because he doesn't have a choice. I think the biggest danger for any generation of Christians is prayerlessness. And a lot of things that happen in the church that begin with a spirit of genuine humility and peace and prayer are often carried out in not in pride, but in a desire to be self-sufficient. There was a writer that wrote, "A move of God will last as long as the spirit of prayer that inspired it." And you can tell when this happens. When we use prayer as a last resort, as a spare wheel, things start to break down for us. Because if we think of prayer as that thing in the back, the tire that's underneath the floorboards in the back of our car, that we use when things start to go wrong or when something blows out, we misunderstand what prayer is for. Prayer was the steering wheel. It's not the spare tire in the back. It's the thing that you should be using to guide the entirety of your life and your action. There are certain battles in our lives that we can't win without prayer. Look over at Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9. Jesus' apostles find themselves in a very interesting situation here. They can't cast a demon out. And Jesus takes this guy by the hand who has died. He raises him up, and his disciples take him aside privately and say, Why could we not cast this demon out? And he says, this kind can only be driven out, or cannot be driven out, by anything but prayer. So this is a really striking text if you think about it, because what had the disciples been trying to do up to this point? I mean, of course, at a certain point they must have prayed, but that's not the point being made here by Jesus. It's one thing to hit a crisis and pray in reaction. It is an entirely different thing to be living a life of prayer and have reserves of